Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. I have, again, our topic today is regarding SEO tips for small businesses. And I have our doctor, famous doctor, on the line. She's going to talk about SEO, SEM, and some information about Penguin. So if you have any questions regarding SEO, please call me or Dr. Annie at 347-324-3460. 347-324-3460. Well, welcome again.
Hello. Thank you for having me again.
I guess we'll kind of continue on regarding SEO. If you can do me a favor and kind of break down the importance of SEO and talk about SEM, search engine marketing, and then we can go from there.
Okay. Well, SEO, as everyone, if they haven't or they're new to the web, it's search engine optimization. And basically what that is selecting keywords and key phrases that your target market, whomever you're trying to speak to and give voice to, are searching for so they can find solutions to their problems. Then basically what you want to do is you feed them into certain key areas on your website or blog, and it'll attract attention using a couple of little systems. It actually causes your blog or website to be spidered, which is, of course, being crawled, as we say, by Google and Yahoo and Bing. And what it does is it generates a page ranking. And the more people that visit your site, the higher your page ranking. And that means the more people get to be exposed to you.
And vice versa. Some businesses still don't understand search engine marketing today and SEO in general. And you really are going to have a website today. There's no way you're going to get around it unless you really have such a niche. But even in the future, one of these days, you're going to have a website. You're going to have the e-commerce. You're going to have to be concerned with it. Maybe you have to pay the piper later, but eventually you're going to have to do it. There's no way to get around it.
Absolutely. Actually, it's kind of funny you should say that. I came up on last night a site that puts the, you know how everybody has to have a business plan, right? Mm-hmm. Well, apparently now venture capitalists, et cetera, are looking to the web to have access to your business plan, and that's what this company does. It puts business plans up on the web for you. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. So now your business plan it's got its own website now. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's how people find jobs now. They look to the web to check out your social media pages, which is kind of a bad practice, but it does happen. A lot of companies do that now as opposed to going through human resources like old school. So you got the resumes up there. You got to be on the right social media for that. And even then, you still need SEO to attract the right people to your website.
It's kind of amazing today, just when you talk about just people looking for a job, I get calls across the country, and I guess they've seen the LinkedIn profile, they've seen this and that, and they try to recruit you, but it's just really amazing how powerful that is today, even with LinkedIn, that they actually start looking, management companies and looking for executives, looking at LinkedIn and look at other resources to do their due diligence to get an idea of who you really are before they even contact you. And vice versa, when you actually apply, they actually do online search and try to find everything possible about you in all different ways. So they know exactly before you even walk in who they're talking to. Then they go back.
Unfair. In a way, I hate to say it, it's unfair because the person you are online, I mean, that's just like looking at a resume. I can be anything on that piece of paper. That doesn't tell you anything about my worth ethic. You know, doesn't tell you anything about my work ethic. It doesn't tell you about whether or not I'm, you know, it doesn't really say much for the person. Because the sad part about any organization, as pretty as you are on paper, you may not fit that organization.
Absolutely.
You know, personality-wise, you know, whatever. And that's the thing that people keep forgetting. As quick and easy, you know, we're a fast food nation, you know, and we're becoming a fast food planet. And the sad part about that is whether you like it or not, you still got to have that home-cooked meal. Because if that personality does not gel with your corporate environment, then you've wasted your time, first of all, playing on the web. And secondly, you've wasted that person's time by having them come in for an interview at your facility. Because they don't fit with your facility.
Yeah, and it's really kind of hard to tell, because even during the lenders, we have to actually, part of due diligence, we have to actually have this whole file put together on a person who's applying for the loan. As you mentioned regarding the business plan, sometimes we ask for the business plan, but actually when an application comes through, They do their basic credit checks and things like that, but they want to get an idea what the customer is all about, because then they're going to tell you everything. It's like one of those hidden things, okay, you're going to have to find out on your own. And they might give you a show and pony show, but you want to know what the real person is. Who is this person? And, yes, part of that lender's profile, they actually go to Facebook, they go to Twitter, they go to LinkedIn. They go to the 10 basic search social networking. They look at your reviews, if you have any. And then analysts actually compile that information and kind of give you a different score. Hey, this is what things I have concern about. Can you address that with the candidate? Because they're looking at the integrity of the person or the character. And that, it's kind of in a sense of old-fashioned way. They look at the integrity and the character of the person. That's what actually they're looking for first. Then they know that when they talk to the person, then they can, you know, they have a picture they can feel comfortable with. Because the only connection they're really going to have is by phone. They're not going to have something that they're going to be face to face. So if they're going to hand you a $10,000 check or a $100,000 check, they want to know who you are. And they're going to just go all means besides credit reports tells you one thing, but we've seen in some cases that that's not really the true fact how this person is, because then out of due diligence, they'll find, oh, he had a bankruptcy, he bankrupted this company. You know, you have to pile these things together, and that's what's so good about Google and the spiders, that it goes for you, but also it can go against you. If you don't address the problem right away. And having these Google spiders come into your website, and you mentioned that, you really have to feed the animal on a weekly basis, because if you don't, like I mentioned to you regarding the other site, if you don't post anything, if you don't add anything contributing to the search engines, you're not going to get indexed as quick. They're not going to go to your site and you start losing ranking and you start losing other things. Why is that?
Well, because there's so many people. I mean, every day you're talking close to 8 million new sites hit almost every hour. That's a lot of websites to crawl. And with that much new information constantly pouring in, they just will stop. It's basically like your old news. So unless you can prove to them that, hey, I'm cutting edge, I'm fresh, and even though, of course, you're not paying for it. Now, the big companies don't really worry about that because they're paying for their spots. They pay people to sit there and constantly do that all the time. But regular folk who aren't, you know, paying out that kind of money to maintain their page rankings, you know, you constantly have to, as you say, feed the animal. Otherwise, you get pushed to the back because it's not saying that you're new, innovative, you know, you're not showing any cutting edge, you're not following some trend, you're not keeping up with the times, and they just don't follow you anymore. They just cut you off cold, as you so aptly found out.
Yeah, I was looking at one, yeah, and we said, oh my gosh, it has like a page 3 ranking, and you know, it had a lot of pages indexed, and all of a sudden, it just, I said, why is that, after a week, really, it just happened within the past week and a half. Why is numbers going up? You know, it's going higher and higher in the opposite direction. It's not going lower. And then all of a sudden, okay, let me check the page rank. Let me check when the last time they visit. And that's like a lot of people who have on old platforms that it's not, in one sense, in the old ways, it was not really worth moving because you're already page one. You're ranking well for your keywords. Why mess with the system? Because I've seen horror stories that people will convert their sites over to a new platform and they lose their ranking, they lose their keywords because everything doesn't match exactly. Even though it's better, you say sometimes it's better just to leave it alone. Do you think, in your opinion, with this Penguin update, is it rather to leave things alone, or you, like you mentioned, you just really just need to continue to feed the animal and maybe branch out?
Might as well leave it alone and just feed the animal, because the sad part about Google is they're always going to have something new.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to keep up with Google, you're going to end up bouncing sites left, right, dead, and center, and it's going to cause you eventually, you're just not going to rank at all. All Google really cares about is that their big thing is looking for really good links to your site. So they just want to see a whole lot of backlinks, and that's pretty much what the Penguin likes to look for. It enjoys looking for your links, especially backlinks. That's mostly what it's tracking. And
okay. It's
driving people crazy, don't let me lie, because a lot of times people, like we were talking, there are companies that go out of business. Well, you're not necessarily going to know that. And if you don't keep up with your links, which you may have a lot of them, if you don't keep up with your links, next thing you know, you're not getting pinged, so to speak, Penguin. You're not getting pinged anymore because you have a whole bunch of dead links on your site, which is another thing that you have to always maintain. At least once a month, you have to go in and check every link on your site and drop the ones that don't have anything to do with what you're doing now. I mean, they may have been Tremaine when you first started your business. But if you're not still doing that particular line of business, then you need to drop those links and get some new links up there, some new backlinks. Write to post some content, get people to talk about it, and have them, you know, track back to your article. For that simple reason, if you are not keeping current, you're not going to get crawled. That's going to mess up your page rank.
Okay. So, you know, in the old ways, it used to be forums, and people make comments on forums, and, you know, you get links and things from there because it's shared. Is that still relevant today of having a forum or making comments on a forum?
It is if you're in the right forum. But, you know, that's with everything. As long as you're within your proper niche and people can go there and they're actually asking you questions and you're contributing, eventually those people are going to end up on your site anyway. And if they want to be a part of your forum, then they join your forum, and it's still viral. You definitely want to make sure you're putting it out there that you're accessible. That's the best part of what forums and discussion groups are for, to prove that you're accessible. And they help you, you know, so you flex your muscle and show your expertise.
Okay. So forums are still powerful statements today, and moving that to the blog. Are blogs and forums are pretty similar? Or blogs is just all your opinion, and you can go from there. What's the difference between the two?
Well, a forum is just, you know, you ask a question or somebody comes in and it's just basically Q&A, and you have a discussion about it. A blog, basically you can write an article and people will comment on it. And what you want to do with a blog, in order to open dialogue, you go in and you respond to the comment. Even if it's just to say a polite thank you for them taking the time to leave you a comment. And then what will happen, they feel like, wait a minute, this person actually wrote, wait, is this a real person? And they'll write something else back. And then if you respond, next thing you know, you've got dialogue. Because the thing about humans, they have this psychological need to belong to something. And that's what makes things go viral. Once they realize, wait, this is a person and they actually took the time, or even if they had somebody working for them take the time to answer me, they think I'm important enough. That makes them feel a part of your group or a part of your organization, or even if you're launching a product. And they will start telling people about it. Hey, I went to this site and I left a little comment, didn't say much, but this person actually wrote me back something really nice. You should go check out this site. And people will go and they'll go check out the site and say, oh, wait, they actually answered me back. And then they'll tell two friends, you know, and so on and so forth. I have that happen to me all the time for the weirdest things that I post, stuff that you would think is really simple or, you know, even mm-hmm. old school. And people, because there are so many new people hitting the web that don't know this information and they're trying to learn, and I mean, they're starved for it. Any kind of feedback they get reinforces them, and they're very positive about sharing that. So, you know, I wrote an article on how to make an opt-in list once, and I ended up with 2,500 comments, and I'm thinking, wow, I only put 6 tips. What? But everybody thought, I was like, okay. The sad part is I actually answered back 2,500 comments, and it's still drawing attention. So I have to, you know, every so often I go in and, you know, answer so many. But and then I get the people that will repeat and say, hey, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, the thing is you're going to get them from all over the world because everybody's got friends now from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And next okay. thing you know, you're like, okay, let me go over here and put this over into the translator so I don't say something incorrectly when I respond back. And they get a kick out of that. If you send it back in their own native language, next thing you know, they'll actually send it to you in English.
Well, that's neat.
I guess, you know, it's a polite thing to do on the first, you know, first go around. If you've never spoken to this person, it means that you took the initiative to bother to translate what they were saying. And it shows that, wait, you actually cared enough to do this. Okay, well, let me do this back in English so, you know, you don't have to do that next time. And then and you pick up the best rapport that way. I get a lot of people from Germany and France and French Canada that do that. A lot of people coming in from China when they leave posts, and I go and, you know, I have it translated and I send them something nice back. And next thing you know, everything they send back is in English so that you don't have to do it anymore. Because they think
okay.
that is a very polite, you know, and it is. You know, that's like, you know, you're going to somebody's house for dinner, you bring a nice bottle of wine. It's old school, you bring a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And they really appreciate it, and it helps you go viral. And again, that causes them to want to link. They follow you. People that follow them hear about you. Then they come over and follow you, or they recommend you to a group. They follow you, and now you've got links. You've got backlinks and track backs, and people are bantering your name around all over the place, and you end up with, you know, you look up, you got a paid rank, and you didn't even know you had because of some little tiny little article you wrote, and you're going, oh, I wrote that back in 2006. What? What do you mean you're still reading that? Oh, no.
Wow.
Let me write a new one.
Well, so we're going to take a station break real quick, and we'll be back with Dr. Andy and on SEO tips. We'll be back in about 40 seconds.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquin.
Okay. I guess we've already talked about indexing and with Google, Bing, and Yahoo. Any items that would prevent you from being crawled?
Don't spam. Well, that's
okay.
The biggest thing. Don't spam.
And how do you spam if on your website? You mean just sending people your information?
Exactly. You can end up doing it, or basically, like, for instance, Twitter hates when you sell things on Twitter. And that's basically if you're constantly – you're not putting any real content out there. You're just constantly putting ads up. Or, you know, you jump into a forum and that's what you dump in there. Yeah, that's going to get back to you, especially if you're sending it to a website and you're using your affiliate link. Or if you make the mistake of setting up your own website to run it through first, yeah, you're going to get pinged for that. That's what they used to call the black hat effect of marketing. You don't want to do that. It's bad. It will kill. It will basically, you're right. You will not only get no more traffic, you're pretty much not going to get much of anything.
Okay.
Penguin's really good for keeping an eye on people. So the biggest thing I can tell you is just please don't spam. It's not good. Don't do that.
Okay. And what is the XML sitemap and why is it important?
Because it creates links. But, you know, I know that sounds corny, but that's pretty much what it does. It's your roadmap, if you will, to your website. After the initial everybody after the spiders hit your page and they look for everything, they want to make sure it's in the right spot, so they'll go to your roadmap next. That's the fourth place they look. And then they'll check out your roadmap, and that your links better be accurate. Because if you mess around there and say you've got, you know, a page about, I don't know, pandas, and it says here that you have a page about pandas, but let me crawl over on this link. There's no panda page. Yeah, you're going to get dinged. Because they're looking for that panda page. You say you have one, you better have one. So, yeah, it's just a stair step. It's a stairwell, if you will, to get from one floor to the next.
Okay, so basic a sitemap is mainly to say exactly what's on your site, but if you have this list on your site and that page is missing, you get pinged for that?
Yep, you do. Because now it looks like you're putting it. You're what we call over optimizing. You're claiming that you've got stuff on your site that's not there, and you just wanted us to come in and page rank you, and you're putting out erroneous information. Naughty, naughty. It could just be something simple like you forgot to link it, but the computer doesn't know that. The little spiders don't know that. To them, all it looks like is that you're telling a story, and they don't like that.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
they're very sensitive.
So when you say XML, what does that really mean? XML.
What does XML stand for? Yeah, sure. Ask me acronyms at this time of the morning.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I mean, I can look on the web. It's no big deal with that one.
No, actually, I should know it off the top of my head. But don't let me lie. I was laughing last night because I couldn't do HTML right to save my life. I used to do it backwards. It's the extendable markup language. It's a defined set of rules for your documents.
Okay.
So it makes them more readable to it. It's actually more readable to the spiders, but, if you can actually read web code, it's pretty easy for the human to follow.
Okay. So that particular format versus the HTML format, if you put it on your website, Google likes the XML, and they don't like really the HTML?
No. They'll read it. They'll read both of them. The thing
okay.
is, XML is easier. It's easier code to write. So, like, you know how hard HTML was the first time anybody saw it. It's like reading JavaScript. You had no clue. XML is actually very easy to learn. So
okay.
it makes it easier for you as a programmer than it does. You know, and it's just a faster, easier language for you to learn. It's not that the computer doesn't care one way or the other. It still reads in the same way. It's just XML. And also, it's not only faster for you to learn, it's, as it puts, it's more human. Humans have better abilities because you can follow it easier. So, like, if you wanted to go in and say you wanted to change your footer and header, you don't have to scroll all through HTML. Cause remember, hey, you had to have the code and, oh, yeah, a line here, and, oh, yeah, wait, I'm looking for the word footer. And you had to go through all that. Well, XML is not like that. It just says footer, bottom of page, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, it's simple. It's just easier for you to read.
Okay. And regarding robots TXT, what does that really mean?
Robots TXT. Well, you're on the questions, aren't you? Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm getting questions from people, so
oh,
I'm trying
true.
To...
oh, man, it's a...
I know what I mean. That's really what does it do? Because the robot...
What does it do?
It's
a protocol. It's basically, it's exclusion protocol. So what it does is it prevents crawlers from crawling your site.
Okay.
That's all.
Great.
So yeah, you've seen that where you've actually seen that little button that'll ask if you want this page scroll, you know, crawled or not. You just click it, and that's what it activates.
Okay. Great. And, okay, I'm going through a scroll. Oh, my gosh. People write paragraphs. I'm trying to give a summary real quick. So, yeah, I think we already talked about the white hat. And, well, we talked about black hat. I mean, the white hat is not really a problem. And, you know, when dealing with the, going back to the links itself, if they just have a link with no page, you're going to get dinged for that.
Right.
Okay, because you can have the link, and it when it actually goes and search for content, there's no content there, then they say, okay, you're trying to fool us. You might have a big site, but you're just creating page links but no content.
Exactly, and you will get dinged very heavily for that. So what you want to do now, in that particular case, that's where you would activate don't scroll this. And a lot of times what you also don't want to scroll unless, like I said, you're still doing this particular type of job, have your archives turned off. So that they're not being done, unless, of course, it's actual content that's still germane to the type of business that you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, you know, as we grow and we expand, we may have stopped doing certain things, but yet the search engines are actually still checking your archives. So you might want to go into your archives and have certain, you know, things turned off so that it, they're not being crawled, so it doesn't make it look like, oh, wait a minute, you swear up and down, you're still doing X, Y, Z over here, but your site doesn't show that. Well,
okay.
That's probably true. We're not doing it anymore.
Okay. So when you're talking about for example, the archives, but if you now some people would build their pages and build a title and start putting content, but they don't have the full content in there. As long as there's something in there, it's better than nothing at all.
Absolutely.
As long as it's relevant to that link.
Right. Right. So even if you have a picture of a panda on a page that you don't have a write-up for, as long as the picture is tagged, panda. You know, panda in, you know, whatever.
Yeah, put in your tag.
Yeah, then you're fine.
Okay. Lastly, we just spent probably the last 7 minutes on link building. It's always I'm looking at a lot of comments here regarding links. And I think everybody else, I think, from the last show can get the information from that. But the link building, it's an issue for a lot of beginners because companies just cost so much in getting links. What should they do in order to get backlinks and links for their website?
Well, there are actually sites that will do it for you for free, but they usually do it by hand, so it may take them a little while to put the link onto your site. The easiest way to get a backlink is to start a blog.
Okay.
And after you started the blog, and we talked about this, you want to create short excerpts and create a link that goes right to that particular, you know, blog posting. And you want to create a system which basically is saves you some time, energy, and money. You're going to go ahead and create your own system, which automates how people see this. And we talked about using Hootsuite and Ping FM. And you just want to feed them in on a regular schedule. Twice a week is good enough. And what all you want to do is feed that link in and make sure when they click on it, that's where they go, right to that particular page. People will then follow you, and it creates a set of links. The people who follow you, usually, again, they'll even leave a comment, hey, I really like this. Do you mind if I put this on my website if I put a track back link to you? Tell them yes. You know, advertising, that's free advertising for you. It goes on the site. It creates a track back link. Again, if you're writing new content and you're one of those people who likes to submit to articles, make sure that you put your links in your resource. Now, there's some companies that'll take your resource, take it right out of your resource page, but that's, you know, that's a no-no too. So you don't want to work with, you know, companies like that. But put them on the legitimate, like, you know, ezine.com, those kind of things, and they will create track back links because people are going to click on it and go, oh wait, oh, yeah, here's that article. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then they'll click to it. So the fastest way that you want to is make sure that you have a blog that's associated with your website. And even if you're hosting your blog somewhere else, make sure your website actually has a tab that is hyperlinked to that website, because when you get crawled, it's going to show it. It will actually show that, wait, this has an external link going to this website, and this website has a backlink to a specific spot on your website. Oh, we like that. Happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fastest way to do it. And I know it sounds really corny, but just as an example, I created a Blogspot post on Blogger that it's been up less than a week. I take it back. It's been up less than a week, and it has already 234 people have viewed this particular site since I launched it, which would have been on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
simply by using that system. And it's very easy. Once you put it in place, all you have to do is go through once or twice a month, depending on how far out you put your, you know, you choose to schedule your updates. And it constantly, as we say, feed that animal.
Okay. So in perspective, kind of back up for a second, if you do a link, you have your blog, it's the best way to do that. You can, as long as it's connected to your site. And once you do your blog, you type your article information in there, and of course people are going to get indexed and people will come to it. To build the links, how can you attract people to your blog?
Well, that's why you use Hootsuite. Hootsuite and Twitter and Facebook are your best friends for link building. Boy, I forgot how to speak today. When you set up the blog, like I said, you create a little 140 character, you know, something, a teaser.
Okay, I'll follow.
You want to learn how to do SEO links or how to get link building, as a matter of fact. You associate that article. If you use Hootsuite, it has the automatic link that makes it short, or you can use Bitly, but Hootsuite does it automatically. You just feed the URL into that. It'll create a short link. You always cut and paste that at the beginning of whatever your 140 characters, put it at the beginning. I usually try to only do things at about 125 characters because I know it's going to hit Twitter, and if people really like it, they will retweet that. Well, a retweet link goes at the end of your Twitter. So
okay.
You want to make sure that it doesn't cut off your essential message. That's why I try to keep them short. Anything about 120 characters usually works, 120, 125. Because when they retweet it out to their networks, because even on Twitter you can create groups, and each group can be addressed separately by the owner that originally is following you, and how they present your content. So what will happen is they start going, wait, so-and-so recommended we check this out. Okay, let me click on this. Oh, wait, that article is pretty good. Oh, let me leave a comment. Well, of course, most things now, if you're going to leave a comment, they require a website. They require a web address. They require an URL. It logs that. Well, if you respond to that and you start that dialogue, you now have a discussion going, that's new content constantly. It's causing the crawlers to say, wait a minute, what's going on over here on this site? This person's got a lot of activity. And then it's not that you're not doing anything new. It's that every time you make a comment, back and forth to somebody commenting on your site, it's new content. The little spiders are like, ooh, more food. Oh, wait. Okay. Wait. Oh, click, 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 and your little site rank goes up. So if you do this twice a week, you will suddenly start noticing your little empty blog is getting an awful lot of traffic. Even if you're just writing simple articles, it doesn't have to be elaborate, just something simple. You want to pass on good content. Make sure it's something that they can share or something they can learn from. Once they've done this, they come back, and like I said, they hit the RSS. Next thing you know, they're getting your feed on their iPods, on their iPads, what other Nook. you know, you've got people accessing you from their BlackBerries every day looking for, you know, their, because the RSS feed, every time you put something new up, it goes out. And it just automatically, people are going to read it. They can click on it right then and there. The minute they click on it, it creates your link.
Okay.
It also increases your page ranking. So you definitely want to do that. And, if you know, even if you, most blogs have their own RSS feed. Otherwise, you can use good old-fashioned Google Feed Burner and create your own. And it's good for podcasts, too, because you can also put podcasts up on most blogs now. Same thing with video. You know, if you shoot a little video, do the same exact thing. Create a an RSS link to it. It's the fastest way to get read, and it's also the fastest way to get links. And as you know, people are visual. They love looking at videos. It doesn't even matter if it's a cute kitten talking to a another cute kitten through a screen door. People will watch.
We watch these crazy things, or yeah.
Oh.
Definitely.
If you can make it, you know, as long as it has something to do with your business. I mean, if you actually, your business has something to do with maybe cats socializing, maybe you're somebody that works with pets, or you're a pet psychologist and you have, you're showing this and you're talking about it, it's got something to do with your business. Or maybe, you know, you're a groomer or something like that. You know, even if you find that, you can actually figure out a way to get that to work. If it's up on YouTube, like we were talking about earlier, YouTube has now surpassed Google as the top search engine on the web. Now, what does that tell you? Because you know they're not going there looking for dictionary definitions. They're over there looking for a video. Find a
video. Well, they made a wise investment there.
Yeah, there you go. Put some videos up there. If it's yours, fine, because other people are going to want to subscribe to what you're doing there. It creates links. They're going to get nosy. They got to come to your site. Wait, who is this person putting up all this stuff? Wait, what is that? Wait, what are they talking about on that site? What do they got going on over there? Oh, wait, they can actually, like in your case, hey, they can help me with a business loan. Oh, I didn't know you could do that. And they'll come to your site and get more information. So now you have created traffic. You now have inbound and outbound links. So definitely put some more videos up there, by the way. Yeah, you definitely want videos.
Great. And last in comments, if you leave the listeners with one last thing for the day, what thing they should need to do besides having a website, you know, building links, building a blog, one piece of advice that you think that you want to close with your advice to business owners?
Make sure that you're using your keywords and put them – you fill out that description for each one of your pages and make sure that you're putting proper keywords that have something to do with the content of that page. And you always want to include the business name in your keywords as well as your description as well as the title of the page.
And great. And does the keywords – I know there was reading something in the past – should it be no more than so many characters or so many words in the keyword?
They like 20. They like 20 keywords.
Okay, 20
so,
keywords.
Yeah, pick the best 20 keywords or keyword phrases that describe what's going on your content.
Great.
On that one page, because each page may be different, you know.
Okay. And we'll leave it at that. I guess also kind of tell us how to contact you and your website and your blogs if they want to read more about you. And
okay. We actually have, if you want to visit SEOtipsforsmallbusiness.com, there's actually a free link builder thing on there. So you can just click on it and you can have yourself a free how to build links and get SEO for your site. We're doing a fundraiser right now. So there's a little site on that. And please feel free to help out and donate. We're trying to put more SEO to local small businesses. And help start groups that can also go out into the community and help small businesses who can't afford the big boys to set up their, you know, set up their websites properly and their blog.
Mm-hmm.
Also, all the blog links are on there. My contact information's on there. And if you want to talk to me, you can get a hold of me, either use the click and talk to me on the website, or you can call me at 916-905-2633.
Okay.
And we're in California, so make sure you get California time.
California Pacific time, especially on the East Coast. Okay. So what's that telephone number again?
916-905-2633.
Okay, perfect. And the website is SEOtipsforsmallbusinesses.com?
Business. Yeah, no
business, okay.
No plural.
Yeah, SEOtipsforsmallbusiness.com. Well,
right.
Dr. Annie, thank you for coming on to the program. And I think you were mentioning something else about the fundraiser that you guys are having.
Right. We're currently having a fundraiser. You can get some information on the site. What we're doing is we're trying to raise some extra money so we can create workshops in local communities. They come and the people that will be teaching the workshops will learn from me. And they can go into the communities and help out, whether it's a church or they want to help out a school, or they can go into the communities and help out small businesses, set up their websites and blogs so that they can learn to get more traffic and really help build up the local communities on a local level because, as you know, we work with small businesses, and that's the backbone of any company, any country.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll leave it at that. I really appreciate you coming on the program again. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me, and good luck, everybody, with your SEO. Come by and visit. Grab a free copy of the SEO. Matter of fact, the SEO tutorial, again, free. Come and click on it.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Take
bye-bye.
Care.
Have a
good okay. Bye-bye. Again, it's been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio Network. Everybody have a great day, and we do ask you that you make comments, reviews on these particular shows. Thank you. Have a great day. Again, this has been Tim Jacquet with The Core Business Show.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.